The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Here we are, the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude, and Wendell. A few technical difficulties off the top of the show today, but we are back ready to rumble. How are you, Del?
Oh, mate, I feel good. It's hot outside at the moment.
What's with the V-neck, mate? The V-neck T-shirt with
for
all
our
the hairy chest and everything.
He's cut it down towards his belly button almost.
It's nearly at the belly button, mate.
Mate, I'm in Sydney now. I'm not in Wollongong, mate, so I'm just trying to blend in, mate, you know?
It's just too much chest hair bobbing out the top for
me. There's a lot going on. How are you?
Mate, going really well. Massive show today, so pumped. Oh,
lots of really big listeners coming, a lot of big callers coming in today and guests as well. What about this Bankstown brawl? A fight between teenage boys turned into a brawl involving their mothers. Did you see this?
Yes. Unbelievable. They were lacing into each other, but then it was like the screams, "Don't touch my son."
Like, a video of the fight shows up to 15 people, including their sons and other mothers, throwing punches at the George Bank in Bankstown. Yeah. Customers and staff watched on to security guards, tried to break up the fight, which lasted 10 minutes. They couldn't break it up. It was like WWE.
It was right in front of the bank teller. And, I mean, you just go, if my mum was involved in the fight with me, I know she'd be lacing into me going, don't embarrass yourself and be getting into a fight in the middle of public.
But I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether it's the weather, but the dads were trying to break it up. You know, and I think we're seeing too much of this. I've seen two women go at it yesterday morning on the Today Show.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly crazy. What we're talking about here.
No, this is a couple of different ones. There's a bank one, and there's a road rage one as well.
But it's mums trying to stick up for their sons.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get in the way of the cubs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The mum in particular is ruthless.
Your mum wouldn't touch us. Oh, that is true.
The lionesses love. You know what it's like. The lionesses.
You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, like, of course.
Imagine anyone getting in front of your kids.
Yep.
And getting in their faces. What are your missus going to do about it?
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, cool. Lynette, yeah.
You're a lover, not a fighter, though, aren't you?
That's right.
You were almost going to have a celebrity boxing match, right?
I was going to be for the police. Marky Brewis was setting it up, and I was 3 weeks into my 10 weeks training before having the boxing at North Sydney Leagues.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I had to actually start hitting people, or at least with them padding around them. And this is boxer, fantastic bloke, Paul, who was my trainer. And he said to me, just hit me. And I go, I can't, mate. And when I tried to, it was just really like
little
love taps.
So you're good with the focus pads
The noodle, no problem at all. The noodle and the focus pads, but once I actually tried to hit someone.
Which is what happens in a fight.
I didn't have it in me. So in the end, I ended up emceeing and giving them some charitable money.
Yeah, you know what? That's you've got to stay in your lane. It's quite funny because Mike Tyson said this once, everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face. And that's like.
Exactly right. I'd be no good. I want to talk now about a little bit of sport that's happening around the nation. What about this? The Matildas, the Aussie women's football team. Well, their opening fixture of the World Cup against the Republic of Ireland was meant to be staged at Allianz Stadium, which is about 42,500. Well, it's now. They sold out all those tickets. They went, you know what?
Yep.
There's so many people that want to go. Why don't we change it and move it to Homebush, where it's like nearly 84,000.
3,000, yeah.
And now that exactly happened, which is fantastic. It looks like it's going to go and be a sellout.
Which also the record for the most people attending a first game of Women's World Cup is like 79 or 78,000.
So,
which would be amazing. It'd be such a great way to kick it off. And of course, the final will be hosted out there at the Stadium Australia as well.
And I think, you know, we remember 2003 World Cup when we started against Argentina out there. Mm. Mate, I think, you know, Sydney and obviously Australia, Sydney and Australia, that's what we deserve. And we're getting all behind the women, the Matildas. They're doing a wonderful job, and let's get behind them.
Absolutely right. Did you call it Stadium Australia?
No.
Mate, that was for the Olympics. Yeah, was your main head a little bit of love?
Yeah.
It's a core. Yeah. Did you play in the opening of the World Cup?
Yeah, I scored the first try in the corner against Argentina. I beat about three blokes.
Not that you can remember it. Yeah. What about Aussie superstar Uzi Khawaja? Everyone else has left in the Australian test team to go to India, but they're still waiting on his visa. Now, there's problems because of his brother, and there's issues which I would imagine Cricket Australia should have dealt with.
100%. How have they not
weeks and
this?
Weeks ago. We knew that we were going to India.
Yes.
How has he not got his visa, and how is he not on the plane with all his teammates? Now he's going to go solo.
Yes.
And he's still not sure if he's got the visa to go. Oh. I think it's a bit of a disgrace.
They could have been working in the background. 100%. He's gone off and won the Test Player of the Year and all the rest of it. It should have been sorted by now.
And he's got his Pakistan background as well as obviously Australian. So
exactly.
It should have been done. And you know, Cricket Australia, I like Cricket Australia, but they should have have done better, Hill.
Exactly. A couple of weeks ago should have all been dealt with and done. Someone's job should have been just sort that out. What about a bizarre story that's come out of the AFL, Jude, with GWS Giants rookie Jason Gilbey revealing that 3 years ago he replaced all his water intake with milk?
Yeah, the dietitian out of the Giants apparently just was gobsmacked.
Three years he'd been drinking milk, not water.
That's crazy.
And, I mean, he's been drafted, so like it's obviously worked all right, but I just cannot fathom that. Like, it just squelches around when you're running and stuff like that if you're having too much milk. But, I mean, it's good to see the Giants. They're flying along the moment. Adam Kingsley's really, there's talk about sharpening the axe and just getting them really red hot to have a big year this year. Hopefully we get to see the orange tsunami back in a big way. But I played with a guy, Del, a young man who was from Ireland.
Orange tsunami?
Yeah, just
they haven't
a big
wave. They haven't had a tsunami for years,
mate. They'll get going. But Kingsley's going to be a good coach for them. But we played with this Irish lad who only drank milk as well.
Yeah.
Like he literally opened up the fridge and there'd be like 3 or 4 litres of milk and he'd come home from training. It was just craziness.
But that's the thing, Gussie, too. You know, like when you're working out and you're training and stuff like that, like it's milk, it's not good. Water, you need water. You know, you need that H2O.
Of course, you need a bit of combination of that. Should refs be fined for bad calls in all sports? This comes off the back of the NBA referees across there in the States. They released a statement after the shocking call when they missed a clear foul on the final play on LeBron James. They said this, boys: like everyone else, referees make mistakes. We made one at the end of last night's game, and that is gut-wrenching for us. This play will weigh heavily and cause sleepless nights as we strive to be the best referees that we can be. And also Lakers role player Pat Beverly even showed them their mistake using one of the photographer's cameras.
Then got a tech.
And then he got a technical foul as well. So is it time referees are fined for bad calls? Discuss.
Oh, for me, like, it is. There's a high pressure on the players and there's a high pressure on referees and umpires. And I think if you add that extra element that they're going to be fined, I think it probably adds even more pressure that's probably undue. I think at some stage, if you go to a review, if you're able to use either a bunker or a review system, well, then you should be able to get that right from there. But I don't think it's going to solve all the problems just having an extra
final. Well, it'd be better for the fans, though, to be go, you know what, you deserve to be fine.
You made a
poor call.
People always vent after a game. It's always going to happen.
Should they front the press conference then at least?
There should be a reasoning behind their decision after the game.
I'll say this. We put enough pressure on people, okay? We put enough pressure on refs. There's young refs that are coming through that we want them to go forward and be senior refs and that. If we make them be accountable with fines and that, it's hard enough as it is. Mate, me as a player, when I drop bombs or I miss tackles and let tries in, well, you know, I had to say sorry. You know, I didn't get fined or anything. I lost the game and my teammates were a bit filthy. I should have caught that bomb. Yeah, but I understand even in the box when they get to review it, that's a tough one. I don't think we need to be doing this because we're putting more pressure on the referees already. We all make mistakes. We're human. They're human.
Sit them out for the next game, perhaps, or things like that. I don't know, but it doesn't sit well with me. It almost have to be that idea of respecting the umpires or referees' decision. It's just
I'm listening to both of you. Del's totally on the right path. I'm nodding along with him. I'm sort of not along with you. I'm not sure actually where you are. You're a bit wishy-washy in your thoughts, Jude. I reckon it would be good to be able to go, that bloke made a huge mistake there. He should be docked a bit of his dough.
No.
As a sports fan, okay. I reckon a lot of sports fan would, you know, not necessarily referees or people that want to be referees. I get that. We'll talk to Mick now in Toronto. Mick, what are your thoughts? Are you with Del? Are you with Jude? Or are you with me, brother?
Oh, mate, I think I'm with myself.
Okay.
Tell us what.
Yeah, mate, I played for 15 years and then I refereed for 10, only in like second division stuff and that. But
sure.
Mate, if you want to start finding the refs, yeah, well, why don't you find any player that drops a ball or drops a bomb like Del said?
Yeah.
You know, and plus, it's hard enough to get refs as it is.
Yeah.
So when you start, that's only going to put them more and more under the spotlight if you start, because then it'll have to come out. Oh, was he fined? Did that call, was it agreed that it was bad? Nah, just respect the referee's decision. Yeah, some will go left, some will go right. Like, you don't really see too many that you think of how it was made. Deliberately.
No, I'm sure they're not deliberate. That's for sure, Mick. No, thanks a lot.
That's right.
So many other people want to get involved in this conversation, so we will throw it out there on 133 533. Should refs be fined for bad calls? As a sports fan, I know what you're saying. It's hard to get referees and all that jazz, but it's just something about if they make a bad call and finding out on the Monday morning that they've been docked, you know, 1,500 or something, it would just make me feel better. What are your thoughts, Leon?
Boys, how are we?
Good, brother. Leon.
Yeah, no, look, it's not good, I guess, but you can't fine them, but someone's got to take responsibility for something doing wrong. Like, you've got six or seven eyes looking at a play. In an NRL, for example, there's two on the field, you've got bunkers, you've got eyes everywhere. How, at that point, can we still get it wrong? And I know people make mistakes, but at that point there, someone's got to step in and take some responsibility and say, hold on, no, we're going to overturn it, or it's wrong. Like, how did we not come to a conclusion when you got six of the best guys doing, like, reffing the job? Yeah. That's what baffles me.
Leon's right about the bunker. I think they've got the opportunity in the heat of the moment, the on-field referee, that, like, they can make mistakes, but you shouldn't make it once you get the benefit of looking at vision and go through there. When we get that wrong, it sort of goes, just flies in the face of reasoning.
So I love with the NRL app, I actually get the coaches' press conferences afterwards. I'd like the referee to step up as well and have that chat, Del.
Mate,
why?
Can I just say this? I don't want to hear from the ref. He didn't play the game. The coaches.
No, but he could have made a decision that and he's got to be able to explain that.
It's not going to change.
No, but it makes the fans who actually buy the jerseys and the memberships feel better when you've got the referee having to come up with the answer.
No, there's enough pressure on refs.
Okay, what about Alan? What are your thoughts, mate?
Hey, boys, how are we today?
Yeah, we're good, thank you.
Yeah, good. Listen, Gussie, of all people to be on this one, it's definitely not you, mate. We have enough trouble keeping the refs. But listen, okay, fair ballpark for all sports. If refs are going to get fined for making an error, what about you getting docked some salary when you call people the wrong name?
Hey, Alan, your line's cutting out there, mate.
Didn't like that. We're going to hit him in the back pocket.
Alan's right, mate. Look, I made plenty of mistakes, and mate, if I was docked my pay, I'd be in debt.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Alan, thank you very much, mate, and point well made. What about Matty in Orange? G'day, Matt.
How we going, guys?
Good, thanks, mate.
What are your thoughts, Matt?
Mate, when you're young and you first start playing sports, the first rule you learn is the referee is always right.
Yeah.
The second rule is if the referee is wrong, refer to rule one. Make him make a decision.
Yeah. Certainly in certain sports like rugby union, they speak to the referee with a lot of respect. Other sports, football, for instance, completely different. So you can make a good point, Matty, how you get brought up and what sports you love.
But the thing also that frustrates me is probably sometimes you watch the Thursday or Friday night game and they're completely judging a different rule and that's the rule for the
inconsistency.
Weekend. And you sort of go, oh, what's going on here? I've got to get a sense of what's going to happen this weekend and they're going to crack down on this one. So communication.
They normally communicate that to the club. So.
And it's a bit like Drew Bolton and his wife, Lynette. She's always right.
Oh. That is true. What about Noel? G'day, Noel or Noel?
How you going, boys?
Good, thanks,
good,
mate.
No.
Great show, mate. Wendell, great bloke. You can see down Wollongong running around a bit with your shirt off.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate that, mate.
Doesn't own a shirt.
What are your thoughts, Noel?
My thoughts is, like you just said a minute ago, Gus, the refs should be accountable and they probably should face a press conference.
Mm.
And like the coaches do, now to say the coaches can fine $10,000, they can answer a few questions or it can be like the Wayne Bennett and sit there and say nothing, you know, but they get an opportunity and the press get an opportunity to actually ask why that was done.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And the simple fact with that is to be entertaining. And that's the entertainment game that we're in, Del.
You should
know that. You're an entertainer.
I don't want to hear from refs, mate, because I know how hard it is for them. And I've worked with guys like Bill Harrigan. And you know what? I don't want to hear from refs after the game.
Oh, Bill would love to have a press conference after a game.
Of course he would, of course.
But he'd come out looking suave as. When you're talking Triple M, when you're talking Triple M royalty, let's talk to this man.
For three decades, our next guest has been part of the Triple M furniture. If that furniture was a vinyl couch that needed hosing down every Friday after drinks.
National Radio.
He's radio royalty from the D-Gen. Martin Malloy, Tough Love, right up until Malloy last year.
I prefer a three-egg omelette or two ostrich.
Back at the M's to pick up his bar fridge, raid the vending machine, and to do Triple M Sydney breakfast with MG. Please welcome back to Triple M, Mickey!
Hello, boys.
Yeah, hello, Mickey, mate. Thanks so much for joining us, mate. Of course, we're talking your new brekkie show, but before we get there, the front bar, All Sports, is back tonight at 9 p.m. on Channel 7 for a six-week run, mate. We know how much you'd love doing the show because it's just obvious to everyone when we just look at the three of you having so much fun.
It's a load of fun. I'm in my natural habitat. I'm behind a bar. I'm drinking beer. I'm talking sport. It's like a dream come true.
Yeah.
it was one of those shows that when you pitch it, the execs go, am I doing the right thing here? It's going to blow up in my face. You know we love it, and we're looking forward to the All Sports. Like, we've got some great guests coming up, Pat Rafter, of course, Booney, and, of course, tonight, Lauren Jackson, who's probably the best, but pound for pound, the best basketball this country's ever produced.
Yeah.
And John Bertrand. Now, a question without notice to you guys. Where does he sit in the pantheon of great skippers?
Well, I would say that he's the finest sailing captain we've ever had, and he would be in the top 10 overall stop, I reckon. Yep.
Better than Captain Scatino. I'll throw some skippers at you, and you let me know where you think he sits. Better than Scatino?
Yes.
Yeah.
Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
Yes.
Captain Feathersword.
He's a pirate. He's got Captain Feathersword.
He's got him covered too, yeah.
He's Captain Feathersword. Well, pirates, want to know Captain Jack Sparrow. I'd like to see him in a tacky duel with Johnny Depp.
He's got Triple M written all over him, hasn't he, bloke?
Yes. Anyway, look, I can't wait to get Triple M. You know, Gus, I think you're old enough, aren't you? You'd remember where you were that morning when all that happened. It was one of the most famous moments in Australian sporting history.
Mick, we saw the promo for the front bar, and it was so just on the back of Michael Clark's little incident up at Noosa. And I mean, even you calling Sam Pang Pangos was absolutely brilliant, and you had the torn hammy as well.
Thanks, Jude. Well, torn hammy or gout? I think in the end they suggested it was gout. And I'll tell you right now, that was some of the finest gout acting you'll ever see. In fact, it was method acting. I've been training for that role all my life.
Yeah.
Hey, Mick, obviously I love what you do, mate. I remember when you and Matty Johns worked together, mate, you were great. But also, mate, tell us, in Australia, we've had some colourful characters. Who's been your favourite and why?
In sporting terms?
Sporting terms, sorry, yes.
Oh, man. Well, I really enjoyed interviewing Merv Hughes, who being originally a Victorian and going to the MCG to watch him bowl. I used to watch him bowl in state games.
Yeah.
Where you would just, there'd be no one else in the ground. Mm. And you could actually hear him sledging players from on the pitch. And he told me a great story once where he kept saying he always used to hate going in as night watchman. So he always used to go out trying to hit a six, which of course is the complete opposite of what you should be doing. Yeah. But he always did it. He was always a great character. And I liked him a lot. But hard to choose, like choosing your favourite kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. By the way, I've got 10-year-old twin boys and Fred's my favourite.
Sitting in the Triple M commentary box last summer in particular, when Scotty Boland was doing his magic, I was calling it with Brad Haddon and Merv Hughes. That's got around the most exciting 45 minutes of my life.
Yep,
you know, pinch yourself moments. And with Merv talking about Scotty Boland going down to the boundary to Bay 13, and you're looking at Merv going, mate, there's no one better at that than you.
You walked through this, mate.
Okay, well, I'll tell you where I was, okay? So I was in the CUB box at the same game.
Oh, dear.
And we were watching that. And we'd set ourselves up for a massive day of free drinking in a corporate box. And it was all over before lunch.
Yeah.
And everyone's going, they came round to the corporate suites and said, right, that's it. Everyone's got half an hour to get out. We barricaded ourselves in the CUV box and stayed there till 4 p.m. So Scotty Boland wasn't as popular in our box as he was in the commentary box, let me tell you. But it was a magical day. It was a magical thing to see.
It sure was.
And speaking of beer, Mick, a new sponsor for the show, Front Bar. So it's Furphy. How much sampling did you do to allow that to come in?
Beer,
he must have had a lot.
I drove a hard bargain and I spent a lot of time at the office, i.e. the pub, over summer. Before I gave it a tick in every box, it's a good beer. It'll be great. We cannot wait. Bring on the new. Well, they said you've got to change something. So it was either change the beer or sack Andy Marr. And let me tell you, it came down to the wire.
I just want to ask you one more thing. You and MG, together. I love working with MG. But leading off into the mornings, have you loved it, mate? Being back,
mate. He is a superstar. I'm blown away by what a giant sweetheart that man is. He's a great fella. Don't get me wrong, he's given me the stink eye a couple of times, and you don't know what's going on until you've been on the receiving end of one of those. But I do love him, and I love being back at Triple M. I wish you guys had tidy up the studio a bit before I come in the morning. I've come in there and there's a chalk outline and police tape up. What's going on the rush hour?
That's my chalk, mate, yeah.
That's generally Gussie committing a murder with a kebab or something like that, probably before.
I had 10 years with MG on Brekkie. I know exactly what you mean about that stink arm. We had Matty Johns in between us who didn't enjoy between 6 and 7.30. He fired up about 7:45, so I know exactly what you mean. But all the best for tonight, mate. The front bar, all sports stars tonight, 9 p.m. on Channel 7 and 7 Plus. And you can also catch Mick and MG every morning right here on Triple M. We feel like we're getting Triple M back together again with you, Blake, starting the day. So thanks a lot, Mick, and good luck tonight. And thanks for putting on such a wonderful Brekkie show for us.
It's going to be a great ride together, fellas. I look forward to it.
Good on you. There's Mick Malloy there. You blokes are going to get me sacked. I'm asking you advice on how to tell this very delicate story. Sorry. And everyone from Maddie, who does the panelling, down to you two clowns, if I said any of those things, I'm hanging up my headphones, walking out, handing in my car pass. Yep. Pass.
We just want to see if you can push the boundaries.
Yeah. I'll be pushing them all right. The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Follow us on our socials at Rush Hour Triple M. We're about to put up a photograph, which I'm going to explain to you blokes about. As you know, I spent a couple of weeks after the cricket season with my daughter, Ella, in London. She was telling me a story one night, because we're catching up, 14 months we hadn't seen each other for. So every night we found ourselves in a pub of some description. She drinks pints, I drink pints, we're having a meal and we're having a chat, right? Get along really well. So we're chatting away and she goes, Dad, you won't believe it. And she shows me this photograph and I go, whoa, Ella, whoa, I don't need to see that. Anyway, I'll tell you what
the photograph is.
I will. One of her best mates is living in another shared apartment with another couple of Aussie girls, and they all meet up once a week and they have a few drinks and stuff. Mm. So on this Friday night, this girl came in and told this story. So she said, I used to go into my bedroom and there was just a little bit of an odour. There was just a little bit of, she wasn't quite sure what it was.
Funkiness.
It just didn't feel right. There was nothing stolen, there was nothing moved, but it just didn't look exactly as she left it. And there was this slight odour in and around the doona and the bed sheets and so forth, right? So Ella's asking her all these questions. She goes, so I spoke to my flatmates about it. They said, no, we don't go in your room because some of them are working from home, right? So she leaves the house and other people are left in there. They go, we never go in your room. So she said, you know what, I'm going to buy one of these £5 cameras that you can sort of put up in the corner and it Bluetooths its way, some app so you can actually you can actually watch your screen. So she goes to work and so forth. Then she goes that night and she goes through the vision. There's three homeless people.
What?
Climbing through the window.
No.
And having a threesome.
Oh, wow.
What?
Two guys and a girl.
What?
And they're doing everything. It's a proper porno-y type situation.
What?
The blokes are kissing the blokes. The girls kissing the blokes. They're going downstairs, upstairs. Yeah. They're having a whale of a time.
Did you clear this with legals or
no?
Okay.
No. This could be my last break on Triple M of all time.
Hang on.
They go for about 40 minutes.
No way.
It's a good effort. They really, really have a crack at it and have a really good time. Mm. And then they get up, put their clothes back on again, and they just pull the bed up and make it as good as possible, then climb out the window again.
And so she thinks that's been happening regularly, that's the stench
that's on the sheets and so forth. So we've actually got vision of that, which we are going to put up on our socials.
What?
Yeah. So the actual screenshot of this threesome will be up on our Instagram
Can we put that? We're better than that. Are we going to do that?
Rush Hour, Triple
I think so. It's not like you haven't seen it before, surely.
Yeah, you're right.
So there you go, the homeless people. Don't steal anything. Don't leave the bedroom. Climb in through. Have the threesome. Pull the bed back up again, and we are done and dusted.
Oh, wow.
Just put the sheets in the washing machine or something.
Well, they're just doing their best. They just don't want to shag on the street, I suppose.
The Adventures of Ella. She should have her own tour, Ella.
She certainly should. We're going to open up the phone lines in a moment.
Triple M wishes to advise that the previous comment by the Rush Hour does not reflect those of management or their sponsors. All complaints are to be emailed to Gus Wallen's personal address, gus@triplem.com.au. We will resume program shortly.
We better go to a song.
I think so.
Okay, mate, I'm coming out. That's the boss.
HR.
I'm not happy.
I know what HR is, don't worry.
boys. We're going to talk now about something that happened in the Brekkie Show this morning. MG had a crack at Luke Brooks' attempt to lure Mitchell Moses to the Tigers, sticking up for Adam Dewey. Let's take a listen.
Oh, look, I love the kid. He's a guy who's much maligned. He's always the scapegoat when they get beaten, and when they win it, they never mention his name. But if I'm Adam Dewey, who is the 5'8", I would be saying to myself, come on, man, I'm your number six. I'm going to be number six for a long time here at the Tigers. In fact, I could be the best player here at the Tigers. So don't worry about Mitch Moses. He's at the Eels. Just worry about me, brother.
What do you think, Mum?
Oh, look, I mean, I always respect MG's opinion, but I just think what MG's probably missing here is, mate, you're trying to track the quality player, and Adam Dewey can play fullback and centre. And don't forget, he's one of his best mates, so he wants to play with his best mates. So I certainly understand where he's coming from, but he's trying to sell the club to him. Adam Dewey, look, I know Adam Dewey. I've seen him come through with Tristan and that. He wouldn't worry too much, but I understand where MG's coming from. But, mate, if you can get a player of his quality, mate, you want him to come to the club. And, mate, Adam Dewey, he's such a good clubman. But he would finish
the centres. He's versatile as well, yeah.
But he, don't forget, Luke Brooks also was their player of the year.
Now, Del, Josh Reynolds has successfully landed a spot on the Bulldogs' top 30 for 23 season, which is just fantastic news. Cameron Seraldo and the team have seen enough after he had that train on roll. What sort of role will he play for the Dogs this year?
Look, I think Josh Reynolds would be good because he wouldn't be on massive...
Good energy.
Good energy, wouldn't be on massive money. And then, like, he'll play a utility role, obviously, even their second side. And then, you know, you'll have him in that top squad. You'll bring him in every now and then, in and out. And he'll play that role and he'll do a good job. Because sometimes when you're just playing at the end of your career, and trust me, when I was at the Dragons, you just want the opportunity to finish at a club that you enjoy. And when Dragons gave me an opportunity, I really loved it there. You know, you're bringing the young players through. And Josh Reynolds, you know, he's had some adversity now. And we've worked with him here at Triple M. He'll be good for the club, and I'm really happy for him.
And barring no setbacks, good news for Manly fans with Tom Trbojevic back from the US and likely to be fit for round one. It's great news, isn't it?
Yeah, look, mate, can I say, I love Tom Trbojevic. He's a great player.
We all love Tommy.
We do. But I heard Jake talk about it the other day, just saying, hey, no one knows how hard he works. You know, people are saying, oh, he should give it away and that. And you know this, yeah, because...
Who's saying give it to him to give it away?
Some fans, because he keeps breaking down. But let's not forget Tedesco broke down a few times in his career. But you know what? I'm not going to question Anthony Seibold here. If he thinks he's right for round one, he's got the right people around him. I personally wouldn't rush Tom Trbojevic into it. You wait a month. But, you know, if he's ready, so be it.
Tell you what, a lot of pressure on your best mate, Siebes, because he wants to get off to a winning start at Manly, and you know if you've got Tom in the team,
it
makes your chances so much better. But you're right, you know, you don't win the Rolls Royce.
Don't rush you, mate. You don't win grand finals in round one, mate, trust me.
No, you certainly...
I won three of them, mate.
You won two and a half, mate. Super League's not a fully loaded one. Going back to England again, boys, my mother-in-law, Sarah, who's an absolute... Oh, she's a ripper. We haven't always seen eye to eye. She wasn't that thrilled that Vix and I were dating initially because she thought it might end up with her living in Australia away from her.
Took her halfway around the planet.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Which when she was younger and travelling was great. They'd come every year and have a bit of a holiday. They've seen all of Australia. They used to come and see us, shoot off and do stuff and then come back again. But now they're a little bit elderly. It's all on us to go there and stuff. Yes. So she doesn't get to see her grandkids as much and all that sort of stuff. But we went there this year. Vix had 7 weeks there. I had a couple of weeks. And I saw her one day. And she doesn't drink that much anymore because of the medication stuff she's on. She used to enjoy a champagne and a brandy at night time. Anyway, I just did notice, though, that she was always in a pretty good mood. Slightly mellow, pretty chilled.
Yeah.
And wasn't seemed to be stressed by noise or drama when a lot of people are in the house. Old people sometimes don't like it when their house gets shaken up a little bit.
Too many people, too many voices,
exactly.
Can't hear what's going on.
And they sort of hear and they can't hear and they can't concentrate on one conversation. Anyway, I asked her about it one night and she goes, oh, I'm doped up.
She's got the munchies.
I said, what?
Come on.
Like, are we talking like medicinal cannabis or something like that?
Yeah. She's found this site, in inverted commas, on the internet where you can purchase stuff that just chills you out.
Yeah, man.
And you can say that.
It's not legal in the UK, is it?
It's not legal, no.
And I'm so she's found a loophole, has she?
She's found this website that brings it in. It comes in certain packaging and she takes a couple of... hits, I don't know what you'd call it. She doesn't smoke it. She just takes it in a chewy. Mm. She chuffs a chewy in, and about half an hour later, she is sweet as a nut. So she takes that mid-morning, and she takes it just after dinner time, and it just keeps her nice and level.
Mm. Look out.
And so we're throwing it open on 1-3-3-5. What's your oldie up to? You know, what about your grandparents or your parents where they're just doing something, it's a little bit dodgy, but you sort of love them for it. It's a little bit of a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I've always said that if you're over 70, you should be able to do whatever you want.
See, I remember,
to a certain degree.
I remember a bloke, his mother-in-law was Polish and she had a fairly bad drinking problem at one stage, and they said, oh, no, she's on the straight and narrow now.
Teetotaler.
And he was like, okay, I think she probably has turned the corner a little bit here. But he was over at her house with his wife, and he's walking past, and just on the dresser table, he could just caught the mirror, and he could see the head flying back as she's taking a swig in the room away
doing
from
shots.
Everyone, just doing shots away from everyone. But yeah, it's it is what it is, I guess.
Exactly, and oldies, they deserve a little bit of love. They've been through a bit.
I might have something for you, but I'll wait till after the break because I want to run it past you boys because we could get in trouble.
I'm glad that you're doing that. That's radio sensibilities, Dill. Yeah, well played, big fella. What have the oldies been up to? What are those things your oldies, your grandparents, or people that are older got up to, which you're just a little bit naughty, a little bit illegal, but God bless them. Give them a wink-winch. They can get away with it. We are talking, what's your oldie up to? Off the back of my mother-in-law, well, she's been on the hooch. She's loving it. She's doing it for all the right reasons. Yeah. But she's on the hooch.
Found a way to order it in.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So what's that, Scotland Yard Police?
Yeah, like, no, hopefully it doesn't go into the UK. Yeah. She's old anyway, so she'll be right. Oh. Now, you said, before we go to our callers, you asked us to have a listen to a story during the song.
I want to wear it
to see whether or not you can say it or not.
Yeah,
We've decided that you absolutely can say it, but just be a little bit careful about how you explain what the thing is.
Can we get the dumb button ready, please, just in case? So, okay, a friend of mine was just saying, my mum, like, she's got this friend in the top drawer and...
What do you mean, a friend in the top drawer?
I don't know, well, calls, yeah.
Oh, like, so...
Yeah, just, beside the bed.
Might need batteries or something,
mate. Yeah.
And she's nicknamed it Big Del. Like, I didn't know how to take that.
How old is the lady?
I don't know, but he's a lot older, and he said whenever she runs out of batteries, he goes and gets her new batteries. So,
So that's his mother.
Yeah.
And he's older than you.
Yes.
So she's got to be 75 plus.
I don't know, but anyway.
Hey, let's go to Steve in Maitland. What's your oldie up to, Steve?
Big Del.
Hello, Steve.
How you going?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's your oldie up to, mate?
Well, I used to go and visit him down in Sydney, and he'd always cleaning up, mucking around, and go, I'll take the garbage out. And he'd go, oh, okay. And an hour later, he'd be taking some more garbage out. I go, what's he doing? Because he'd be giving up the drink and stuff. And then the electrical cabinet where their switchboard is and all that, and they'd have a bottle of whiskey and he'd be swinging on the bottle of whiskey around the back of the house.
Doing all the odd jobs.
Took the bins in for 4 hours.
How good.
And ran at my place. Thanks, Steve. Elise. Elise in Campbelltown. G'day, Elise.
Good afternoon, gents. How are we?
Good, thanks.
Good. What's the oldie you been up to?
Well, it was actually my grandfather, or my grandmother, but years ago she smoked, and for 40 years my grandfather apparently never knew anything about it. Anyway, my grandfather had taken my dad and my auntie down to a footy game, and there's a call, and it's like, Bert, which is my grandfather's name, Bert, the house is on fire. The house is on fire.
Oh.
My grandmother had gone in for a smoke, forgotten it, and it lit up a wardrobe or something and burned half a room down.
Oh. Well, wow. He certainly knows now that your granny's on the darts, that's for sure.
What about Steve there? Steve, what story have you got about one of the grandparents or oldies?
Mate, it's to do with my dad.
Yep.
He didn't mind a drink, so he made his own home brew, still.
I love that, yeah.
and so he called me. He said, Steve, come up. I want to have a drink with you. I said, yeah, look, no worries at all. He said, what do you want to drink? And I said, oh, look, just give me a beer. He said, no, I'll get you a scotch.
Mm.
I said, all right, no worries. So what this old bastard did is he put the still or the home brew into the scotch bottle, with the scotch flavouring. He said, here, try some of that.
Oh, yeah.
I can give you the tip, right? You only need a couple of them and you get that wobbly boot. Right?
Rocket fuel.
Oh, absolute rocket fuel. Right? And And he would, every time I went up there to see him, because he lives up to the coast, up at the Central Coast, every time he would just stump that in there.
That's fantastic. I'd love to get a crack at that, Stevie. Thanks a lot. Let's go to Coffs Harbour now, up the coast, and speak to Louise. G'day, Louise.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Yeah, we're good. What's your oldie up to?
So it was my mother, God bless her soul. So she had cancer, and in the later stages she lost a bit of an appetite. So we thought we'd get her a little bit of hoochie-coochie, and we got some oils, and she didn't know about it, but we sort of snuck her in a little bit.
Yeah.
A few hours later she's, oh, wouldn't mind a cup of tea. And then she's, I'll have a jam sandwich with that. I'm a bit peckish. So we've done that, and then I've gone home and left my brother there, and then he's ringing me up every 10 minutes because we gave her, like, this bell, so if she needed it, she could ring the bell.
That's so good on you, Lou. Fantastic story. Oh, that is absolutely brilliant. We love our listeners. Welcome back to the Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Our next guest on the Rush Hour is a father that has endured an unbearable tragedy, more than most could handle. Today, it's been 3 years since he lost Anthony, Angelina, Sienna and their cousin Veronica to a drunk and drug driver whilst they were innocently walking to get an ice cream. Instead of choosing a path of destruction, he chose the path of forgiveness. And I've been fortunate enough to hear Danny speak many, many times to school kids on road trips that we do together. He is truly an inspiration and a legend. And Danny, thanks for joining us on the show.
G'day, Gus. Thanks, mate. How are you?
Mate, I'm well, brother. I still can't quite believe it when I hear you speak, the forgiveness, the questions that come from the audience who just can't quite believe that you've chosen this path. And here we are, mate, another anniversary.
Yeah, it's always tough this time of year for the family. It's always the anticipation of the day. And when the day comes, it becomes very difficult, but we get through it. We've got the other kids in front of us, my wife and I, and we make sure that they're okay and they're smiling, and that's our probably mission for our lives at the moment.
Danny, it's Jude Bolton. I mean, I Forgive Day, this Saturday, the 4th of February at Prince Alfred Square in Parramatta. It's from 11 a.m. till 10 p.m. An amazing event, and it's free. What are some of the highlights from this year's event?
Oh, look, we've got the Western Sydney Wanderers coming. We've got the police force are going to be there. There's a store for the ambulance, the paramedics. We've got the Bulldogs and Para. They're promoting the I Forgive Cup, the NRL round.
Wonderful.
That we've got. And we've got our Prime Minister's going to be there, Anthony Albanese, to open the event with Dominic Perrottet as well. Here they're coming for the support for the I Forgive Festival. There's going to be rides, free rides for kids. It's a family event. You know, I'd encourage anyone to come, bring your family, bring your kids and come and say g'day. Amazing. And it's just a message on, you know, forgiveness, you know, looking at our community. And it's for Layla and I think it's a way of saying thank you, especially to the community in Parramatta. They supported us so much in this time. They really showed the Aussie spirit. Mm.
Danny, it's Wendell Saylor, mate. How are you going?
Good, Dylan, yourself?
Good, brother, good, mate. I've got to thank you, mate. Last year, I was struggling a little bit last year with some of my family stuff and even my mental health, and our friend Omar put me onto you and said, mate, you need to speak to Danny Abdullah. I asked you a question last year because I was angry and I wasn't in a good place, and I just said, on that day you lost your three kids, and obviously I think your niece, I said, how do you forgive so easy? And what you said to me gave me strength, mate.
Yeah, I remember that. We spoke about forgiveness, and you got to forgive for yourself. Forgiveness is for the forgiver. So you can let go, man. If you're angry with someone, they actually control how you feel. They dictate your emotions. So, and you always got to find a greater good. And my greater good is myself, my wife and kids that are alive.
But you also told me on that day that you lost three kids, but you couldn't, your other kids, they needed you and your wife. And your wife, can I tell you, I know our wives are always the strongest ones, but Danny, can I tell you, like, mate, you walked through the valley of the shadow of death. That was strong what you said to me, mate. That made so much sense. That day, you could have died, but you didn't, mate.
Yeah, I know. I had to make a choice, and it's actually, look, it's always hard. Don't get me wrong. I think I've always said, you know, my heart's always going to be broken until the day I die, but what it does do, it gets your kids moving into the right direction. Because, you know, raising kids is contagious. You don't want them to take that energy off you and live their life with bitterness and anger.
Danny, I'm interested to know, I guess, that journey of forgiveness, what are some of the impacts you've had along the way with family, with friends, and taking others on the journey? Because I can imagine the immense anger from those surrounding you as well.
Look, there's been some interesting people, man. I've had people come up to me. They saw us on TV, my wife and I. A guy, he booked himself into rehab. He got back with his wife and cleaned things up. He became a better dad just through our story. Mm. Another guy was attempting suicide, and he saw us on TV. He said, "Danny, I was finished." And when he saw Layla and I, the way we responded, he actually got on his knees and went to his wife and apologized. And he said to me, "My life's a lot better." It's so relatable to mental health, because it's the story you tell yourself all the time, that unforgiveness that keeps you repeating yourself. So it helps. Forgiveness is a big deal.
Yeah.
Mate, we have Gus Wallen here. We have Drew Bolton here. We do a lot of stuff in that mental health space and grassroots stuff. But, you invited me to Crookwell. I couldn't come that weekend. What happens at Crookwell, mate? You have some mates there, blokes that are struggling, but it's like it's a support network, and it's a good couple of days together, isn't it?
It's beautiful. We go out to the farm and we got little projects. We all give each other a hand. And, you're off the grid. It's at solar panels. There's no phone zones or anything like that. And everyone's working and plucking along, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Danny, you're a great man. You're always welcome on this show. Great support from all of us, brother. So you just take care. I Forgive Day. It's this Saturday, the 4th of Feb at Prince Alfred Square in Parramatta from 11 in the morning till 10 at night. We'll put those details on our socials as well. All Triple M listeners, get down there, support it. And Danny, all the best to you and the family, brother.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
We love you, mate. Good luck to your Bulldogs this year, mate. He loves the Bulldogs, mate.
Settle down, mate. You bought the comp, Danny. What's going on, brother?
We've even signed up Djokovic.
Yeah. I heard that 4-year deal. Well done. See you, brother.
See you, Danny.
See you, guys.
Thanks, mate. It's going to be a big show tomorrow, boys. We've got UFC star Tyson Pedro. We've also got the host of Survivor,
Jonathan LaPaglia. Absolutely.
He's going to be joining us. Have a great afternoon. See you later, Dill.
Love you, guys.
Good on you, Jude.
See you tomorrow.
Get home safe, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow at 4.
The Rush Hour with Gus, Jude and Wendell. Weekdays from 4 on Triple M.